Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you, Ann. Item number 8.
Item number 5.
5. Sorry. Thank you. Your briefly would like an 8.
From Corporation Counsel, a verbal report regarding policies for obtaining legal opinions from the Office of Corporation Counsel. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. I guess I'm here for round 2 of what I did not understand, I guess, at the time to be as controversial as it turns out. Kimberly Walker, Corporation Counsel. I believe I'm here today to talk about the referral process for legal opinions to be given by Corporation Counsel. And as we discussed during the finance hearing, those ways in which we've talked about are referral by board, by the chair of the board, or by committee. Again, let me again say, I did not understand this to be a new procedure. I quite frankly thought I was just memorializing a process that had been in place for many years. And in fact, I believe that Supervisor Jurcik referenced that process in one of the earlier items when she asked if the matter was to be referred by the committee. So I'm not certain what you want me to talk about at this point, except that, again, because of the workload that the Office of Corporation Counsel has, it's necessary in light of the fact that our resources are not infinite and we have, you know, less and less resources, as do other departments. We're doing more with less. It is pretty important for us to have defined processes within the office so that we're able to provide effective and efficient and quality legal advice. By no means are we trying to cut off the Office of Corporation Counsel from the board. And in fact, I had some conversations with some of the supervisors after the finance hearing and said, to the extent that the issues at hand will require, you know, pretty basic legal responses, is this legal or not, certainly those answers can be given. But wherein it is a question that's going to require more complex analysis, research, that it is our preference that those matters be referred by the, you know, board, the chair, or the committee for a number of reasons. Firstly, I would say, as a board, to have the level of transparency amongst you as board members, and so that everyone knows that these are issues that are of significant enough importance that the Office of Corporation Counsel is working on. But also, from a Corporation Counsel standpoint, it gets us out of the middle of any kind of political battle, so to speak, that may exist within the board. So, case in point, an individual supervisor asks for an opinion from the Office of Corporation Counsel, and one of the lawyers has that opinion ready, and then we get requested by another supervisor to hold on that opinion. So, you know, there's a conflict that apparently exists at the board level for which we are not privy, nor should we be, because our roles are not political. Our legal advice is our legal advice, but it would really help us to understand this is the process, and also the board to, you know, support and understand so that we're all level set with the same understanding.
Thank you. Any questions, comments, Supervisor Broderick?
And I interpret that to mean it does not exclude our ability to simply contact your office to seek guidance.
That is correct. Good. Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Thank you.
Supervisor Jersey, and Supervisor Broderick.
Yeah, I was present during this discussion at finance when it came up in budget, and I think some members in the finance committee really misunderstood the issue of referral for obtaining legal opinions from the issue of, well, what if I just have a legal question? I mean, a pretty basic legal question, for example. Does something violate the open meetings law? to which Corp Counsel Walker is indicating that she understands her office would be open to, you know, a supervisor calling and getting an opinion that for them is probably pretty basic and something that's not going to require a lot of research, as opposed to what we in fact just did, a referral regarding the whole issue of our ordinances now in compliance with this new concealed carry law. And that's going to take, I'm sure, a fair amount of work in reviewing the ordinances and trying to get that up to date. I think another example is the domestic partnership issue, which came up and in which one supervisor actually tried to get a referral on that when, in fact, it had much larger implications. So I think you have to distinguish what you're looking for. And my understanding is Corp Counsel is in no way saying we can't get those basic legal opinions to guide us so that we don't run afoul of the law. But when it becomes a more complicated issue that's going to legislative-type decisions, then we need to do it through committees. And I think that's the way we work anyway. Resolutions are brought through committees. We don't just get – each one of us get to individually go to the full board and start doing separate resolutions. I mean, there are some exceptions to that, you know, with suspension of the rules and so on. But that's been my understanding, and I think that's your understanding. And just so that finance committee members don't misunderstand what is being said, we can still call the office and get some basic opinions. And I assume you'll also tell us, well, that is a much more complicated issue that would need to be done through a referral. You would tell us that.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. What Supervisor Jurcik has said, that is exactly what is contemplated in our office. To the extent the issue is pretty basic and requires little analysis or research, those guidance kinds of questions can certainly still be filtered through the same process that has occurred. But to the extent that a supervisor feels like the issue may be one of pretty basic legal analysis, but the office, you know, the lawyer that's assigned that matter finds it necessary to do more detailed analysis, that, you know, we would request that we be given the discretion to say we would ask that this come through referral because it does in fact require more detailed analysis and legal research.
Thank you. Supervisor Rice and Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you. And I do think that having some clearer understanding or adherence to common procedures is important going forward. I don't know what the finance situation was that's referred to. I wasn't in the committee meeting at the time, but I am familiar with a recent example that I think came out of this committee in which a motion was made for referral. And the reason I think that we do that, formalize it that way, is to give the Corporation Council clear, you know, identification of what the legal issues that we're asking to have resolved come out in writing, if possible, so that they know what they're responding to. Before that motion, that referral was ever made to the Corporation Council's office, as I understand, an individual supervisor requested an opinion, and an opinion was issued by the Corporation Council's office. I think that gets in the way of clarity and moving things forward in a way that is as collegial as possible, but also is responsive to the specific committee's request. And so I don't know if we need to have this, you know, understood in terms of a written guideline. I think I understood what the rules were beforehand in terms of when you require something in writing and when you can pick up the phone and ask a general question. But I think we do need to have the committee process respected and adhered to, and because it relates, you know, specifically to action we take, and that is a referral that we would want to have in some cases before we take action as a board as a whole.
Supervisors Lipscomb and Biddle, but before we get to the two of you, Ms. Gray.
I just want to. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to expand on Supervisor Rice's point. And I guess sort of the way, I don't see a good way to write this down, but the way I see it in my mind is when we're asked questions to help you with constituent service or some issue that you have, we're not trying to pull back on that at all. But when you're asking, an individual supervisor is asking a question that is going to result in action on the board, either an ordinance amendment or a resolution to adopt a policy that is something either controversial or complex, requires a lot more resources for us, then we think that should come from a committee or the chairman's office to say, we want you to do this. We want you to spend time doing this rather than and the committee doesn't even necessarily have to agree with the referral, the intended result of the referral. I mean, you can refer things to our office, even though a majority of you don't even want to go that direction. For example, you can say, give us an opinion on domestic partners, and then a majority of you, after you get the opinion, vote against it. That's not the point. The point is, it's a public airing of the request. It's a public request from a constituted body that comes to our office, says, we want you to devote your time and resources on this kind of an issue rather than something else. And so, to me, the distinction is not when you ask for legal advice on something that's confronting you in your office or your constituent service. It's when you're asking individually for legal advice on something that you know you're going to be bringing to the board, mm-hmm. and it's a policy question.
Right.
And I don't know how much clearer that is, but that's the clarity that I would add. We are Corporation Counsel. The name implies our duties. We're counsel to the corporation. In the same way that general counsel in a business corporation is counsel to the board of directors. And I don't know, because I've never worked in that environment, but I would bet you, Kim Barker can answer this, that individual directors on a board of directors don't go to their counsel and ask questions that are going to be debated at the board of directors. The board of directors provides that advice. Now, I will grant you there are always exceptions, and Supervisor Jurczyk brought up an exception about removal of the chairman. And so when you have institutional kind of questions like that, that would be an exception. But generally speaking, you know, when you're talking about legislative policy, that should be directed by the legislative body. And so that's what we're trying to, that's the only distinction we're trying to draw.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was, in fact, one of the two examples I wanted to give. I think that there are times when, for political reasons, whether it be the board chairman or a committee chairman, that an item could be that may have broader interest than the one supervisor, but could be obstructed by that committee leadership or the chairman. And I just do not believe that the process should be set up to permit that, that all supervisors have a right to have some legal advice and proper counsel on issues that are affecting us as a body and or are affecting the policies that we or our operations and or potential policy that we're going to working on. As a specific example for myself, I have a where this issue came of interest for me. I asked for some research on a topic. I wanted some guidance on an issue of liability. And I do not have a resolution on the issue. There is nothing that I could bring to the committee. There's no resolution before us. It is in preparation for possibly working on the issue that I wanted legal research, and it goes beyond a simple request. It's not something I expected to be able to pick up the phone and get an answer. I knew it would require some research, and I did not expect to get it, you know, in a day or even a week. And I also respected the fact that in the priority level that clearly board referrals, committee referrals, that all those things would come before my request. But I did believe that I would eventually be able to get that information. And effectively was told that I would have to bring it through the committee, and I don't see how I could do that. I don't know in our process how I would do that. So it seemed to me that a chair or a committee chair was given a preference, that they would be able to get this kind of information, but I would not. That's my understanding.
Mr. Gray?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Luska, I do think, assuming for the sake of argument, the chairman is not going to be of a committee, is not going to be dictatorial. Make that assumption for the moment. I think any individual supervisor can go to the chairman at agenda setting and say, I would like you to put on the agenda an issue related to X, because I want to talk about X and I want the committee to refer a policy question related to X to the Corporation Council. And unless, again, the chairman is acting, I think, contrary to the way he should act, he or she should act, the chairman would say, sure, I'll put it on the agenda. You can bring up whatever matter you want to bring up. I mean, you have to have a title, obviously, for the item, what the subject is. But then at the meeting, the only subject of that item would be a referral to court counsel or legal opinion. And then we would know it's not just one supervisor interested in whatever that policy is. And I'm not trying to pick on Supervisor Lipson. I think this is true of all of you, individual supervisors. And the point is, then the committee knows about that work that's being asked of us, knows about this policy matter that's going to be before it at some point in the future, knows the questions that are being asked of us, and the answers go back to the committee, not to the individual supervisor. It's a process question, and I believe, Ms. Walker and I think that's the better way to go. Now, there can be disagreements about that, obviously, on individual supervisors on philosophy of the process, but that was our thought.
A response?
I actually have a follow-up question to that. In the case of a referral referral for an opinion by Corp Counsel, when that opinion comes back, what is the process, or what is supposed to be the process in terms of the referral back? Does it go to just to the committee through the normal committee agenda setting and process, or would it go to the author of the resolution that was referred, or anyone who's expressed an interest in the topic? I mean, at what point does that opinion become, in the, you know, assuming that it's not a confidential opinion on, you know, personnel matter or something, at what point does that become a public document? Because I've had some difficulty with that issue as well.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I believe that when you make a referral to our office, we get now, the clerks are very good. They send us a written document with a referral request from a committee. Or I actually have one that was out of personnel where the committee essentially went along with an individual supervisor's request. It wasn't an action by the committee, but they allowed the referral to be made to us without any committee direction. But the point is the committee knows about it. Mm-hmm. The response then from our office is a memo back to the chair, and for the next cycle or whatever it's due that cycle, presumably my understanding is it would be put on the agenda for that response, and then copies of it would be in the packet, and the committee would receive, everyone in the committee would receive it. It would not typically go outside the committee to the rest of the kind of board members or that committee, but it would go to all members of that committee as part of the packet, whatever it's. And that's one of the reasons we want to do it, is because that's the way it's supposed to work, as opposed to an email request with an email back to a supervisor or something like that. If that's not clear, I'm happy to answer questions.
For me, it brings this process question. It presents a process problem in that, depending on how long, obviously, that opinion has taken, it's then going to return to the committee and only be available to the members mere days before their next meeting. They would have no ability, short of a close connection to that chair who gives them an advance copy, they would have no ability to do the follow-up resolution or action that they were asking for the opinion. The reason for which they were seeking the opinion presumably was to take some action. They at that point have no ability in a timely manner to do that. It creates a number of, it seems that process creates problems.
The other thing that could happen is that supervisors could go to the chair and outline what the issue is and talk to the chair before agenda setting to try to get some sense as to whether or not it could go forward. as it relates to requesting of Corporation Counsel whether that the referral, the opinion, eventually what could evolve into an opinion, because you're talking about timing, and in as much as there's a week between, in most cases, agenda setting and the actual meeting, if you wanted to forward topic during that particular cycle, then there's got to be some meeting of the mind somewhere as it relates to going forward. But I think what they're referring to is, one, transparency, and two, they don't want to get involved in any political type of situation for which there could be some problem could develop later. Problem could develop later in as much as the supervisor who was denied or who had some obstruction or some barrier put in front of him or her could actually carry it over in some way, attitudinally speaking. And then their resources are such that they only have so much time to take care of whatever business comes before them. So I think a lot of it's just to clarify and to be transparent, and so that for whatever the concerns are of the supervisor who really wants this put on the table, that is put on the table in a respectful and appropriate way. Right. That's just my opinion. Okay. That's great.
Mr. Chairman, just to respond to Supervisor Lipscomb's question or point, I think he's correct that there is the possibility of at least one cycle delay because of what he's talking about. But I would suggest your rules contemplate that that's what's supposed to happen. Is that you have a minority rules referral process for the full board.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of that is you're talking about an issue that's so complex or so need of study, legal study, that it has to be referred to court counsel. I think those are the things that should be slowed down as a matter of policy. This is personal opinion at the moment. and your rules encompass that, is that, that is where you want slower deliberation. Now, I understand there are always situations where we move in a hurry, we have to move in a hurry. Concealed carry is an example. My understanding is we wanted to get that done by November 1st, and so that's we try to honor that when we can. But I don't want to disagree. I want to admit that Mr. Supervisor Lipscomb is correct. That is a possibility.
I've forgotten. Good old New Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm new, and so I'm still learning all the different complexities of being a legislator. But that's what I am. I make policy. I make law. I make resolutions. And I'm not a lawyer by trade. And I know that I have access to the research analysts to give me guidance and direction and background information and other institutional knowledge that I might not be afforded due to my rookie status. But if I'm trying to craft responsible policy to present to my colleagues in a respectful fashion, I would like the opportunity to have discussions with the Corporation Counsel to talk about the legalities of what I'm trying to propose. Why would I want to sit, waste a whole lot of time crafting stuff that is legally out of bounds? That doesn't make any sense. That's counterproductive. And so the frustration with me is not the referral process. I think the referral process should be respected in the way that so that we can keep the priorities of the of business, and so that they can have the time and resources to get timely responses back to us to slow down maybe legislation that might be controversial or unpopular with other members of the body. And I understand that folks can use parliamentary procedure to slow or rush or whatever. I mean, and that's frustrating sometimes, but it's politics. I'm not crying over it. But what I am, and sometimes it does get abused, let's be honest. But the point that I'm trying to make is that there are politics to agenda settings. There are politics to things getting referred. But if I'm a policymaker elected by people to make responsible policy, I feel like as a individual supervisor that I should have the ability to consult legal opinion on things or ideas that I'm trying to propose and put into legislation so I can present it to you in a respectful fashion that doesn't have a whole bunch of minefields, that isn't illegal or puts the board in a situation where they're doing something contrary to state statute or federal law or whatever other ordinances or things that I might not have the knowledge of. And so I would like this to be in writing so I can understand the process and the structure, and so we all can be of one accord and knowing what the procedure is. But I disagree. I would like to be able to call or email or meet with Corporation Counsel based on legislation that I have the intent on putting forth to make sure that I'm legally in bounds. Yeah. So,
and Supervisor, I would say my reaction, not being a lawyer, my reaction would be that what you are asking are legal questions. Would be questions of Corporation Counsel given whatever you have that you would like to go forward.
But I don't think that's what I'm hearing. I think what I'm hearing is
questions as opposed to an opinion.
The
questions that you could give them through a conversation, either in person or on the phone, is to address whatever you think should, whether or not whatever you're presenting does provide a legal problem, whether it's legally viable. It can go forward just on the substance of whatever you're asking for. Are you presenting? That's what it sounds like to me, as opposed to, and this is questions that could help you develop whatever that particular issue is, as opposed to you trying to forward something without going through agenda setting, without going through the chair, something for which you know that somebody else may have a different opinion about, and I don't think that helps. That's just my opinion. I'm one person in this room. If someone else would like to weigh in, please do so.
Well, and I think implicit in what I was hearing from Supervisor Lipscomb is whether you have an expectation of confidentiality. Because you may be trying to craft something and you want to go to Corp Counsel and see if you can get some assistance with the law in the field, et cetera. But maybe don't want to have that shared immediately with members of the committee or even other supervisors. And I believe the answer to that is each one of us does not necessarily have the right to confidentiality because, again, they represent the corporation. And, you know, when it comes to being an activist in terms of trying to advance policy, I think, you know, the way the system's set up is we go to someone like Mr. Session who is very experienced in helping write legislation. He can often call Corp Counsel with a technical question on, you know, how something gets worded, et cetera, but then gives you your policy issue back to you, drafted in a way that Mr. Session believes, you know, is something that the committee can then look at. The committee then looks at it, perhaps makes some suggestions on how it might be something that would be acceptable to other supervisors, et cetera, and then refers it to Corp Counsel for a legal opinion on whether we are within our rights, perhaps as a mission of the corporation, to do what you're trying to do. I think that's the way we currently work it, but I think there's an important question there is, do we as individual supervisors have a right to confidentiality? And I think the answer to that is no, and therefore, if you're trying to get Corp Counsel to, you know, help you draft some policy that you want to advance, you have no right to have an expectation for either confidentiality or to have them help you draft policy. That's mm-hmm. not what Corp Counsel does.
But wouldn't that be limited confidentiality in the sense that Corporation Counsel is not going to CC members of the board just
yeah.
because
I think there are courtesies, but do they have a right?
A question is posed to them. To the office, Supervisor Biddle's questions would not be directed, or answers to the questions of the whole matter would not be directed toward me as another supervisor unless he
yeah,
wanted
Yeah, I think there's
to.
A courtesy, but does he have an expectation of confidentiality? And what do you think?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, here's a question I haven't studied a lot, but my reaction is that each one of you are clients, just like a department head's a client. In individual situations, it may be a custodial worker, for example. I mean, it depends on the nature of the situation. you made a lawsuit where somebody gets sued for getting in a car accident while driving on county business, that person is my client when I'm representing them in the lawsuit, that individual. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have communications with us, and that is an attorney-client communication, and it is privilege. That, to me, is not the question here. It's a question of priorities. It's a question of if Supervisor Biddle has a policy that he wants to advance, any supervisor, any supervisor policy they want to
advance, always do.
Then the supervisor should advance the policy. And the supervisor may acknowledge when they're advancing the policy, I have some legal questions about what I'm doing, and I think I want to advance this policy, and I want it referred. And so the point is that it comes through that process, and people know that that's the policy being advanced.
I mean, if you're going to give him an opinion on something he's asked, and you now are treating that as an absolute right of confidentiality, you therefore couldn't discuss it in committee.
No, I don't mean confidentiality as against other supervisors. I mean confidentiality as against the world at large. You asked me a question. There's an attorney-client confidence that allows me not to disclose that to the public. I don't think.
But within a policy arena,
the organization, yeah. You are correct.
Right. And I would like to hear you weigh in, though, because this has bothered me for a long time. We're talking about the legislative branch. You also go up and have meetings with the county exec. And, I mean, we got into a real hornet's nest when Bob Domina, who I like very much, gave an opinion to the county exec that we were, Bill Domina, I'm sorry, gave an opinion to the county exec that early in the year, because we had a substantial deficit, the county exec assumed emergency powers and override some specific items that were put into the budget by the legislative branch. I think we were very far afield, and I think Corp Counsel walks a very fine line when you start giving advice to the county exec, and certainly you're at meetings. He needs to have legal advice at times, just like we do. But when we start getting into that political arena, and you are asked for an opinion at that point, hopefully you're saying the same thing to him that you're telling us. You know what? If that has to go through the legislative process, that has to go through the legislative process.
Mr. Chairman.
That's great.
First of all, we do have the duty to all the constitutional officers. It's not just the county exec, not just the county board, it's the sheriff, it's the other elected officials. And so they all have the opportunity. Obviously, some people use us a lot more than others, but they all have the opportunity. And when we give advice, it's our intention, no matter how it's perceived, to give what we think is the best legal advice, no matter who's asking the question. And so I understand that there are going to be questions that we answer that are going to upset somebody. I mean, we may give an answer to the county exec that the county board's not going to like. We may give an answer to the county board that the exec's not going to like. We have given answers to both the county exec and the county board that they didn't like that the sheriff did like, or vice versa. And so it's all of those things. And we, the whole point of this is to try and keep us from being political. Now, we understand we answer to political policymakers, and so that's not entirely possible. But I understand also, with respect to the example, that the county board didn't like the answer, but I think Bill Domina, if he was here, would say to you, I would give you the same answer to your face. I don't think it was any deception or any two-facedness, if you will, about Mr. Domina and his role as corporate at all. And I don't think there will be one from us. I mean, our intention always is to give the answer that we think is the right answer, no matter who's asking the question. We've given answers to our office, has given answers to the executive. Current exec, prior exec. We've given you guys answers, the county board answers you don't want to hear.
Well, the chairman so just, here's an example for you. Right now, the chairman just complained about the director of child support services lobbying on behalf of a certain political point of view and indicated that that was not appropriate. Now, the county exec may want Jim Sullivan to lobby on behalf of that issue. The chairman is objecting to it, saying that is not appropriate for you to do because the county board hasn't taken a position. This is on the controller on that. So, you know, who's correct on that? We've got the chairman, who hasn't really taken it to the board yet, expressing his concern that Sullivan is going to Madison using his context, because we know he's a legislator, perhaps doing something on behalf of the county exec, which we as policymakers have not weighed in on. So do we tell Jim Sullivan to stop that?
Let's have a referral.
Good answer.
Good answer.
That is a good answer.
Please give that answer to the county exec when he asks it.
Well, and I guess I would say I'd be careful what you ask for, because you may not like the answer. But setting that aside, we're really here to talk about process, not about individual situations.
Yes.
So.
But the factual examples do help clarify the issues.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
If I could just clarify, I know you thought that implicit in my case was such a thing. This had nothing to do with confidentiality. It really had to do with what may go beyond a basic question, in the sense that it was not something I expected any of the lawyers to know off the top of their head, but that I did fundamentally see as a research question in preparation for policy. And it wasn't my intent or desire to go around the committee or to go around the board so much as it was to get to the heart of the issue, to even know whether I had something that I was going to propose. I fundamentally needed to understand something, a statute, and how it applied to us. Not a basic question, but a fundamental question that was key to my moving on the issue at all, if at all. And that was... just not to make it too personal, but that was my specific concern, and where I still see this flawed, because there still then becomes this definitional question of what's the simple answer, what's the simple question? There aren't too many simple questions in law from my lay experience.
Thank you, Supervisor Biddle.
I guess I just don't want to be in a position where I'm only recognized through the body, so I'm only a client through committee referral. I'm only a client through minority rules on the board floor, but that the county executive or department head or another constitutional officer has direct access to acts and get counsel from corporation counsel. But me as an individual supervisor, unless I'm a committee chairman or the chairman of the board or madam chair of the board, that I don't have any access to get legal opinions and research questions asked as I'm making policy that the county executive and the administrators have to follow. And so it seems kind of backwards in a sense. And so so that's my frustration. And it also brings a case to question, does the county board need their own legal folks that they can have access to know what's going on? We have our own research analysts and our own audit department. Do we need our own legal team so that we can have timely information about policies that we're trying to get done without all of these other things being in play?
But as Mr. Grady says, this is more about process than anything else.
All right.
You do have research, as a resource, you do have your research analyst for a particular committee. You can consult with that individual. You can consult with other supervisors if you'd like to do that, because some of us have more experience than others. Some of us may have been down that particular road that you're trying to go down. But there also is the formal process by which referrals are made.
Okay.
One, if you're looking toward a legal opinion regarding a particular issue or how, if something is legal, if you're doing something is appropriate, as opposed to a question which could be be discussed with research analysts. It could also, Office of Corporation Counsel could be contacted with respect to the legal question, to your giving to them a legal question which they feel in. And there might be a sense that they'll get back to you, they'll give you an opinion, they'll give you their advice, they'll get back to you in a couple of days, you might have to do some research, might have to actually do that research, may have to consult with each other, whatever the case may be, because we still need to look forward to going forward. But I think part of the discussion that was said earlier, that happened earlier, regarded to the office being a legal office, which could give whose members could give advice, but they don't want to get into the political back and forth that has existed as it relates to one principal corporation counsel providing an opinion, another one providing another opinion, and then those opinions butt heads, and then they become somewhat political, and that's not their purpose, to be political. That's what I've got.
I just want to reaffirm, we are your lawyers as a county board. We are the county tax lawyers. We are the lawyers for everyone in Milwaukee County government. I understand the frustration that I'm hearing from Supervisor Bill and Supervisor Lipscomb, but we aren't partial. We are not here to be partial. We're not here to be the exec's lawyers. We're not here to be the sheriff's lawyers or the treasurer's lawyers, or we're here to be the institutions, the corporations. It's a weird situation. There's no question about that. But I think we have historically handled that 99% of the time fairly well. I mean, there's going to be times, but most of the time fairly well. There is a difference in your role as a county board from the county executive board, the sheriff's board. He has a day-to-day administrative responsibility, and the policy side of responsibility, which is different than his. And so the fact that we have to be on the same floor of the courthouse as a county executive is purely coincidence. It has nothing to do with our role. In the same way that the sheriff doesn't serve the exec or the sheriff doesn't serve the county board, one or the other, he serves the county. We are an office also. We're not department heads like the head of the department, DPW, or anything else. We're an office, a corporation council, which denotes a distinction. And so our physical placement in the building has nothing to do with the way we see our jobs. So if you think that we are being partial and serving only one floor or one portion of this institution, we want to hear that. I don't think we do that. I hope we don't.
Mr. Slesher.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just a couple of brief comments. I think I hear a level of comfort with what the Corporation Council is proposing here. But one point I do want to make, as your staff, is that when you come to us in Congress and ask us to begin drafting something that may be complicated or legally complicated or controversial, we do our best to maintain that confidence, and we do work behind the scenes with the Corporation Council. They're very accommodating. But I understand their need for a formal conduit before they have to devote resources to something. But the provision that I hear in this, that a matter needs to be agendized publicly before it can be routed through their offices, I think is something that should be of concern to you. I believe that the county executive formulates policy. We see that in our budget documents. We see that at the state level, we've talked a lot about concealed carry today, and I got to believe that concealed carry was developed in confidence, not in a public setting, before it was introduced,
right,
through legal processes. Now, to a certain extent, some of that's going to be executive privilege. He's the county executive. He's the chief executive officer in the legislative branch. So to a certain extent, that I believe can be addressed that way, but I want to make sure that we're all aware that what I hear here is that they want your matters that may be brought to us in confidence to be publicly agendized before you get resources, significant resources, devoted from the Corporation Counsel's office. Now, there's probably a tipping point in there, and that's, I think, where our problem is. We want to make sure, we got to find what that tipping point is, and hopefully we'd be able to work back channels and address that. But I do want to make that point that it's something that you should be aware of.
Again, questions versus referrals. And for the referrals, there's the agendizing process. But again, for whatever supervisors want to say, whatever is said to the Corporation Counsel, to the attorneys, is confidential between you and whoever you're talking to at the time that you're talking to that individual. And just as when staff prepares something for a supervisor, staff does not necessarily look for some other supervisors to speak to regarding whatever is your issue or your matter is.
really a matter of courtesy.
Yeah, yes, yes. To keep the peace.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor.
Would court counsel be able to offer any guidance at this point as to where they judge the tipping point to be in terms of where a question, I mean, is this about whether your lawyers know it off the top of their head or have to spend more than an hour? Or, you know,
I'd like to understand that. I mean, if it was a time-limited answer and you said, I'll give you an hour of research, I'll take an hour of research because right now I'm getting zero, you know.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it necessarily boils down to, as Supervisor Lipscomb here is talking about, you know, an hour, but it really does come down to fundamentally how much time, resources, expertise does that lawyer who's been assigned this matter have in the matter, or, you know, how much needs to be researched. So, an example, a supervisor reached out and said, I'm looking to do X. Is that something that's legal, or will it cause me potential legal liability? And I responded very quickly, here's the answer to that question. That same supervisor reached out and asked another question and said, I looked at this article, you know, take a look at this, and would like to know how they did this and how do we do it at Milwaukee County? How do we make it legal here as well? That's the tipping point. And so that's the kind of question that I would say, now I've got to look into what another department is doing, how they've done it legally, and what do we need to do from a Milwaukee County standpoint to make it legal as well. Those are the kinds of issues that we are asking that they come through referral.
For example, if something was legal in another state and that supervisor got that idea from something that was seen or observed or was revealed to that person in the state, how does that mesh with our state statutes? Is this something that we can do given whatever the statutes are there versus what they are here in Wisconsin? So that becomes a referral process to me. That, in my opinion, that becomes a referral process. So it's
clear as mud.
Here's a formula.
You take all of the constitutional officers and the board as equally one of them, divide corp counsel by that number. What is it? Probably six. So 1/6, and then you take our 1/6 and you divide it by 19. That's 1/19th of 1/6. That's how much time you get.
Put it in my IOA. Wait,
tell you what, I got a bonus for you. Yeah, those of you on finance and eventually on the full board,
right.
If you want to really solve this problem, give us about 24 attorneys. We'll give you an individual attorney for each one.
That's right, individual service.
I will say, unless there is something serious to be said at this point, this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you. But very interesting.